放送ビジョン。やれね。放送ビジョン。Okay, Genesis 2 verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Hallelujah. So God does not screen your confession. Adam called them, that was the name. God is not doing some editing. Hallelujah. What Adam called it was what it became. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. So when you speak to your body, when you speak to your health, to your account balance, it will not ask God for approval. God's approval is already with me. Say, God's approval is already with me. Say, I have God's approval to cause all things he has created to work for my good. Say, I can for my benefits. Say, I have God's approval. Say, I have God's stamp. Say, I have God's backing. Say, nothing can be denied me. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. And therefore what? We speak. Hallelujah. So the Christian life is a speaking life. Say, I have the spirit of faith. Say, therefore, say, I speak. Say, what I believe about my health, I speak. What I believe about my finances, I speak. I am not quiet. I am not taciturn. I speak what I have believed. Philippians 1 verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging, epignosis of every good thing that is in you in Christ. So to acknowledge what God has done for you, it will not stop in thinking, it will end in your mouth. Hallelujah. It will not stop at reading about it. It will not stop at meditating about it. It will end in your mouth. So don't just think good things. Speak good things. Hallelujah. Say, I speak good things. Say, I speak good things. Say, I am deliberate about talking good things. Say, I am a good things talker. Say, I talk good things. Say, I am fluent in speaking good things. Hallelujah. Don't cage yourself to that level of reasoning. You're just reasoning, you're just thinking, and it's not ending in your mouth, though you must speak it. It's not busybody. Talk about your own life. Hallelujah. Talk about a successful marriage. Talk about good business. Talk about a good home. Talk about your ministry. Be a talker. Be a talker. There is no shortcut unless you are a talker. You talk. Praise God. In the kitchen. Say, I speak. Say, it. Hallelujah. Say in the flight, I speak. In the bus, I speak. In the ferry, I speak. In the train, I speak. If I'm flying, glory to God. Sleep, come on, this. Hallelujah. See, they are so, like, that's the way it's not, Pastor Yankala, he said, faith and healing, those subjects, they are so important that if you don't even need it for yourself, you will need it for a loved one one day. You need to rescue a loved one from sickness, from death one day. So get serious right now. Get serious with faith, with healing, with your confession. Get serious with it. Practice it. Pick somebody that has health issue in your school, pick him up and make him your project. It's all about your words. I think that will be deliberate. I'm pick my phone. 1 hour, 2 hours. I said, every 2 hours, I will speak about this situation for 10 minutes. So in the next 2 hours, the thing will ring again. I will talk about your tune for 10 minutes. And that's why I have some resources that even if my friend comes with me, he will ask me. We have this type of confession. Invest in your confessional life. Sorry to say, I don't know how best to put that again. Invest in it. Ensure you are talking. Ensure you are not allowing things to happen to you. Happen to things. Hallelujah. Sorry, we are still discussing salvation. It's not faith. We are teaching you here in this church so that you can make sense in your speaking. So that you can make sense. Anytime I see the girls post on Facebook, I'm just happy. We teach you well in church so that you can make sense. So that when you are discussing salvation, you can make sense. You can talk sense. Talk sense. So that when you are singing in church, you will sing sense. Entertainment and edification. Say, I've received sense. Hallelujah. This sense has fallen upon me. All of them, they preached from them, from the Old Testament. They were explaining Jesus out of where? The Old Testament. So, Genesis to Malachi are not doctrine. They are profitable. They are profitable. Some of the grammar are by the inspiration of God. Some are not by the inspiration of God. Meaning some are words directly from God and some are not. Some are inspired, some are God's mighty, some are not. So scriptures, all scriptures are not doctrine, but they are profitable for doctrine. So you must labor on Genesis to Malachi by the Spirit of Christ with the mindset of justification and with the honesty of the mindset of justification with number three, the honesty of the new creation to bring out church doctrine. All scriptures, I take this again, they are profitable. That would mean if you labor on them very the profit you will get out of them is what? Church doctrine, good doctrine, reproof. So that the man of God will be complete and ready for ministry. So it is not copy and paste. You cannot read 2 Samuel and copy and paste it as church doctrine. You cannot read Malachi 3:10 and you just copy and paste it and say we have to do it in church. You cannot read first doctrine from it. Hallelujah. So it is profitable for doctrine. Advantageous in the Greek. Advantageous. So the graphe. Now, I know you understand this now. If I say this, the graphe, which is the book, right? The graphe is not the word of God in itself. But in the graphe, okay, let me take it slowly. The graphe, which is the old tradition, is not the word of God in itself. But the graphe contains grammar that speaks about the word of God. The graphe contains grammar. About the word of God. John 1:1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines where? In darkness. The light shines in darkness. So you can see in the Bible. If you just hear the Bible is not the word of God. What you are saying is the word of God is Jesus. So the Bible is about Jesus. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. See verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we was with yet. You see the Bible, we bear his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father of grace, which is the truth. Praise God. Go to Revelation 19, verse 11. All glory to God. Do your best to open and do your best to rise, do your best to open. Do your best to rise, do your best to open. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and righteousness. His eyes were as fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. 13, want to go everybody? Yes. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called as the Word of God. Hallelujah. So, say the word is a person. Say the word is a person. Hallelujah. Now, so you can be reading the Bible and you are not reading the Word of God. That is so sad. And that is where, that is the gamble that the Pharisees find for themselves in John 5:37. So you cite the scripture in them, you think you can find eternal life. So you don't know it's scripture, testify of me. So you can be reading the Bible for the wrong reason. You can read the Bible and you're not finding, you're not seeing the intention of the Bible. It is only the scripture that is advantageous to discover church. It is only the scripture that is copy and paste, so yet it is only from the scripture that you are permitted to bring church doctrine, not your visions. Your vision or your experience is not advantageous. We can do without it. We can do without it. We can do without the dream you saw, by his message, that dream you saw that you went well, from where you went away again. You went to the Nikki way, So your visions are not advantageous. The only thing advantageous for church doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for evidence, is what? Scriptures. Scriptures. Romans 16:25. Let compassion be your driver in the place of the miraculous. Let compassion be your driver. Let it not be faith. Let it not be show off. Let compassion be your driver. When it is compassion, you will be more deliberate. When it is compassion, you will do it free of what will people say. When it is compassion, you will do it free of what if it doesn't work. No, you won't think about that. Let it be compassion. Let compassion, rise up in your hearts for people, for the sick. Let it be compassion. Let that be your driver. Let it not be fair. Let it not be show off, but compassion. Why would I go and lay out that man? I have compassion. I won't say healed. So if it's compassion, you won't mind, you won't think about your image, you won't think about yourself, you won't think about what if it doesn't happen. No! It's compassion. You pray for somebody yesterday, you didn't see results, compassion will take you back. Why? I want him in you. It's not, I'm not trying to prove something. I want him in you. Compassion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good. I said, open where? Romans 16:25. Okay. Now to him that is of power, hallelujah, to establish you according to my gospel. The word I established there is the Greek word sterizo. To strengthen you. Who? Unto him that is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So, he said, unto him that is able to strengthen you, to make you firm, to render you constant according to my gospel, to confirm you, to make you stable, stability. Stability is formed when you labor on scriptures. Now, this is where I'm going there. Now, Luther said, To enter is able to establish you, strengthen you, according to what? My gospel. Huh? My gospel. So, what is the gospel of God? What is the gospel of God? See that word. Look at the Bible. That word and there is the same word, that epic Kai, Kai, K-A-I. So, that is, according to my gospel, that is what? The preaching of Jesus Christ. So, when Paul is saying my gospel, what is Paul's gospel? The preaching of Jesus Christ. So, you are not permitted to say, since Paul has his own gospel, me too, I want to have my own special title gospel. You are in error. Paul's gospel is the gospel of Christ. So Paul did not have a gospel for himself. He didn't formulate a gospel formula that, okay, most of people have been saying that, Paul has taken away and taken people from Jesus. Let's go back to Jesus. Let's see Paul. No. Paul's gospel is what? The gospel of Christ. Praise God. See that verse 26. So the Paul's gospel is not about Paul. But now is made what? Manifest by the words. Scriptures of the prophet. Hallelujah. By the scriptures of the prophet. Can you see? So Paul labored on what? The Old Testament scripture to bring out the epistles for us. To bring out the gospel of Christ. It didn't rely on, if you fast too much, you cannot be seeing, don't be seeing things, see demons, see white, see red, see God, see Akanabanga, see Guma, you don't be seeing, don't be seeing, you 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 don't. Are you happy yourself? Are you happy those who are hearing you? There's somebody there. Years ago, before I touch her, she has seen vision. What is this? You mean I'm praying for you? I'm not seeing. Before I go say yes, I blame you for that. She has seen and obtained three things. I saw white. I saw Jesus. Amen. Don't worry, there will be much more change. This was what. So, this one, I'm sitting from this place. See what Paul said, though. Paul said, according to the what? Commandments of the everlasting God. So, that was what God commanded. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So, write this down. You can live the Christian life accurately without that book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is as good as one of those Old Testament scriptures. It's full of visions, types and shadows, symbols. Same way you can live the Christian life even if you don't understand the book of Proverbs, as well as you understand the epistle. Same way you can do without that revelation in your Bible. I'm sorry, I have to say it that way. Because the revelation of Jesus, as made clear by Paul and other apostles, is enough. And that's what we find in the epistles. Although I understand that the book of Revelation starts with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Eh? That's what started it. But we all know what is inside. Amen? What is inside is not the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the mystery of Jesus Christ. You get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? The book reads the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when you are reading it, it's not Apocalypse. It is mysterium. It's concealing for them. So now you don't have to give yourself a headache if you have not understand anything from the book of Revelations. Now, meaning number one, write this three fast down. The epistles are the revelation / explanation of Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures. That's number one. Reality. Are you following me? Your camp looks like it's nice. Yeah. If you are, if, If you are in the whole church, they say you are pushing angels away. Hallelujah. Okay, I said, the epistles are the revelation slash explanation of Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures. Like, personally, I believe that Paul labored so well on Isaiah 53. I believe Paul labored so well on that chapter of the Bible. Number two, you should not treat the book of Revelation as doctrine. You should not. Because almost nothing is labeled. If you want to talk about pastor, it really can do. I will spool you out of my mouth. The Church of Galatia, are you the Church of Galatia? Is it the assembly? Say the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Do you know what is the only meaning of the doctrine? Say, he's sleeping. It's rhetorical, don't worry. So, you see Jezebel, he said, that woman, she's drunk with the blood of all the saints. You are looking for, what is your business? Okay, number three, any aspect of the book of Revelations that you cannot explain by the epistle, Ramoses, are you skipping? No, if a DVD is skipping. You are skipping some stuff. Catch you, send you to where? Make your way. Now, any aspect. Any aspect of the book of Revelation that you cannot explain by the epistle, it is safe to leave it for now. Because the gospel of Christ is the explanation of the Old Testament scripture. And that is what we have in the epistles. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the scriptures you have to labor from is not word for word. Now don't get me right here. What I'm saying right now is that the book of Revelation, although it looks like it is in the New Testament, but it's also a book that needs what? Explanation. So same way we are not bothering to explain Jesus from 1 Samuel, from 2 Samuel, from 3 Samuel, from everything. I'm not saying we don't talk from them. Are you getting me? But same way we are not stressing ourselves. Okay, if you have not understood everything that the book of Exodus say today, then we are not a complete Christian. Same way we must treat the book of Revelation. It's the same way we must treat it. It's not compulsory you get everything he's saying right now. Why? It's vision. A vision is not literal. Look at the vision of Joseph. Look at the interpretation. Any physical coherence, nothing. See, he saw what? He saw the vision of Pharaoh rather. Seven fat cow and seven liquor. And his fat cow swallowed up the liquor. Sorry, the lean cow. See, you don't know this one. You know that one. The lean cow swallowed up the fat cow. Excuse me, in the history of numerology, how does cow translate to years? So most of the time, it's only the man seeing the vision. He's the only one that knew what he is representing. Praise God. And this is another issue. We cannot interpret things through by vision. You don't interpret vision by vision. When somebody say, yes, now I have seen what that Revelation 12 is saying. That's why he said the dragon, I saw the vision. You don't interpret a vision by a vision. Okay. Now, why am I saying all this? If you don't know how to interpret the Bible, you will get it wrong, grossly on salvation. You will grossly get it wrong on salvation. Your knowledge of salvation will be very, very good. If you don't know how to interpret the Bible, you will get it wrong on salvation. So, we must be thorough, we must be honest, and we must be patient in our Bible study, in Bible interpretation. And I mean, honest. Honesty means devoid of. Write this down. I just mentioned three things. Please write that down. Thorough, honest, and patient in Bible interpretation. Thorough, honest, patient. So, honesty would mean devoid of personal ambition, devoid of selfish motive and manipulation. I'm explaining honesty. Are you with me, brethren? Are you with me? Devoid of personal ambition, devoid of selfish motive, devoid of manipulation, and you must not preach to impress. You must preach to impact. So what I mean, when I say thorough, thorough, I mean you must be voluminous. Don't get scared of Greek words. Don't say it's not my job. Thoroughness, then patience. Patience means you must build conviction with time. Build conviction with time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now everybody, be on your feet. Let's read these scriptures together before we continue. Be on your feet, be on your feet, be on your feet. Hallelujah. Thorough, honest, and what? Patient. With Bible interpretation. What else? To be thorough, we need to be what? To be voluminous. Don't get scared of Greek words. Don't say it's not my business. To be honest means devoid of personal ambition, devoid of manipulation. When I mean to be patient, I mean you should stay with the same truth with time. Build conviction with time. Now, let's read 2 Corinthians 4 as well. Bible interpretation is the fulcrum that holds Christianity. Rightly interpreting the Bible is what we pray for in the whole of Nigeria. That we all should read this Bible and say the same thing. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1. Want to go? Yes. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. Well, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Say, I don't walk in craftiness. Say, I don't handle the word of God deceitfully. Go to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. For 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. Want to go, yes? For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you all. Hallelujah. Chapter 2 verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 17. Chapter 2 verse 17. Yeah, want to go? Yes. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Hallelujah. Check 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1. See? First now. Chapter 2 from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1. Want to go? Yes, let's read. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declare unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word of message, please English, but in demonstration of what? Spirit and power. Verse 5, that your faith should stand, not in the will of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a seat, everyone. So, our salvation, verse 8. So I said before, I said forgiveness of sin is a function of the blood. Bible interpretation. Forgiveness of sin is a function of the blood. It's not just about confession. It's about the blood. So I'll explain some concepts and just few stuff today. In the evening, we come back again, get loaded. Amen. Now, the high priest confesses because there is blood. The high priest in Leviticus chapter 16 that confesses sin, he does that only because there is blood present. Hold on, use me. Seven, use me. Good. It's because there is blood present. Hebrews 9:22. Let me read my own version here, ISV. In fact, under the law, almost everything is cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And you know that when there is no death, there is no blood. Blood speaks of death. And since there is no blood, then there is no confession of sins that can be accepted before God. So, in the Old Testament, each time a man wants to confess his sin, he brings an animal. So, why will you pick the confession of sins and you don't pick the animal? You pick everything. Each time. So, a Christian that is confessing his sin every day, who are you trying to kill? Is it Jesus again? No. He is raised after the power of an endless life. Like, I know to you right now it's a simple concept, but it is a big deal. People are seeing yoke, like that is one of the first deliverance every new creation needs. You must stop talking about your sins. Hallelujah. So Christ only died how many times? Once. Christ confessed all your sins how many times? Once. Meaning God forgave your sins how many times? Once. Amen. Are we together? Who made me get upset? Let's go on the Bible. Good. So meaning God forgave the entire sins of mankind how many times? Once. So that is why even the sinner that wants to be born again is not told to confess his sin.
There's a scope that I will say that that's first John 1 9 is just unable to sin, that is telling sinners to confess sins. Now we have seen, remember our parallelism, that to confess sin there will be to confess the lordship of Jesus. Will be to confess that, okay, I have sin and I need redemption. That's what he's saying. It's not to be, you cannot even remember everything. So let's say even the sinner is not told to confess sins for salvation. Go to Romans chapter 10. Open. Elijah, open. The sinner is to confess Christ. Romans 10 verse 9. Oh, glory to God. Romans 10 verse 9. Does he thou shalt what? Confess with. Look at the Bibles. And shall believe where in your hearts that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. So the sinner's duty is confession of Christ. Say the sinner's duty is confession of Christ. Say the sinner's duty is confession of Christ. Say the saint's duty is still confession of Christ. Praise God. Let me give you an example. She asked them. The sermon intended to be a long sermon. I'm halfway. Stay awake. I don't struggle too much with sleep. Just stay awake. By the power of God. It's raining, brother. Come on. There's not much more is coming. June 1, 2, and 3. Ask them this, yes, I mean, as in now. And we are witnesses of these things. Look at the Bible. Bible. And we are witnesses of these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they was, they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. 41. Not to all people, but unto witnesses truly before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. First thing, you want to go, everybody? To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Hallelujah. Remission of sin will also mean cancellation of sin. I've told you that in this one very well. The same people that verses, it means for sins to be cancelled. Peter was only preaching. These guys are not talking about, no, they are Gentiles. These are not only Jews, maybe they are upright. These are Gentiles. And it's not only Cornelius that is there. But Moses is clear, right? Amen. What's the next verse? 44. Don't you go, yes? Why Peter, yes, spake these words? What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was brought out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? For they heard them was speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ask this thing. See this critical question. Acts 16 verse 13, let me read my own version. And he took them out and said, sirs, what have I to do to get salvation? Wow. King James says, what must I do to be saved? What is the answer? There's one. Want to go, yes? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. And I asked, amen. Praise God. Now, it's not to confess sins, it's to believe. Let me explain something there. He says, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, he is not saying here that your faith will cover your family. He is not saying here that once Pastor Ezekiel is bringing the gospel, the circumcision does not have to believe. The faith of Pastor Ezekiel will carry which you have to heaven. No. Later on, somebody, I told you, that may be something funny. Oh, that's not funny. Praise God. That's exactly where I'm going. First Corinthians chapter 7. Salvation is about individuals. It's about individuals. Who has been gone? Mary Joyce, please. Yours, she needs a new one. Just give me what's that? Anybody that begs me again, she's a young unbeliever. Thank you. Praise God. And Kiyobu. Okay, settle down, everybody. Come on, let's do this. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12. So it is if you believe and your family too believes, then the world is saved. It's not saying your faith will cover everybody. Is that okay? Are you with me? Good. So, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 12. I need to stop preaching right now. All of you, your brains, your nerves, just get up. Your problem, what's the problem? What's the difference? House. Okay, 7 verse 12. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 12. And thus to the rest, speak I, not the Lord, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. 13. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. First thing, want to go? For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Wow. Well, let me tell you this. Holy and sanctified there does not mean our sanctification in Christ. It does not mean our holiness in Christ. No, but rather, please write this down to you. Write this down. The man is set apart to receive salvation because he now has a preacher in his house. The man, no sanctifying is set apart, right? The man is now set apart to receive salvation since he has married a wife, a believer. So he's not saying the faith of the wife will automatically get the man saved. No. It is individuals. See, chapter 7, verse 15. But if the unbelieving departs, let him depart, a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. Verse 16. Everybody wants to go 16, yes? For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or oh man, whether thou shalt save. So he has not saved her. Okay? So if the wife and the man, if they are living together and the wife refuses to communicate the gospel, the man will not be saved. So it's just talking about that close proximity. It's not saying there is an automatic transmission of the faith of the father to the children. No. It's only generational cause that I'm transmitted. It's not salvation. Say that. That's wrong. Praise God. So, salvation is not a family affair. Individuals must say yes to receive the Spirit. Now, back to what I'm saying. So, if sinners don't even have to confess, by Moses, are you okay? Good, that's what I like. If sinners don't have to confess any sins for them to be born again, how come Christians are now confessing sins to sustain their salvation? If sinners are not even confessing sins to be born again, Rashidus, are you here? How come believers are now told to confess sins to sustain salvation? It's just rubbish. Pure heresy. Hebrews 10, verse 10. I see a concept here. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Hello. Okay. Once you go, everybody, yes, 10, 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ alone once for all. Amen. Read again. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, say once, for all time. Hallelujah. So, hope you see that sanctification is not the second or third work of grace. A believer receives everything the same day. God is not a retailer of sanctification. He is not a wholesaler. He is an own giver. He does not give you sanctification in instrumental packages. He does not give you redemption in installments. He gives you once and for all. Praise God. So, but individuals, now listen to this everybody, but individuals have a duty to walk in the sanctification he has received. God's sanctification is how long? Once. But you have a duty to what? Walk in the sanctification that God has sanctified you. Let me explain that a bit more. 1 Peter 1 verse 15. That one is man's doing. It is the same thing as acknowledging every good thing that is in you, in Christ. I know a lot of us have been taught in different traditions that Marity, are you the head of Shabbat or Chief Whip? None of the above. Okay. You're the Uticus. Okay, 1 Peter 1 verse 15. Want to go, yes. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 16. Because it is written. Stop. Please. Once you see it is written, whatsoever comes after it is written, you have to treat it like an Old Testament scripture that needs interpretation. because he is courting. So, what he is about to say right now is not part of the epistle. Is Old Testament. What is written? Be ye only for that is what is written. But what is Peter bringing out from that place? Verse 15 again, yes? As he who has called you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner now of us. Conversation. So that would mean you are to express your holiness in your conduct. If all you read is that old thing, can you see that picture? What they wrote in your slides is that be holy for God is holy. Okay, I say no. Be holy in your conduct. Why? You have been holy. Praise God. Let me drill that a bit more for you. Check Philippians 2. So, walking in holiness is not expressing what God has done in you and for you. When you walk in holiness, you are expressing what God has done for you. What God has done in you is expressing, is an expression. See, this is our Philippians 2 verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not many are strong in the word, strong in the Holy Ghost, strong in the miraculous, strong in teaching Jesus, strong in expressing all the good things that God has done for them. I see many are taking up territories. I see many are taking up territories, taking up schools, classes, impromptu meetings. I see many doing much more for the Lord. Your hands are filled. Your hands are filled. They are truly free. I mean, filled. Your hands are filled. Your mouth are filled too. You are just equipped. You are set to go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Philippians 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Amen? Why? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Murmuring and disputing. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Amen. So you are to work out your salvation. Okay. Any intelligent man, salvation there, can you use another word for salvation there? Same way we have explained perish earlier in 1 Corinthians 8:13. Work out your salvation. You want to change that word salvation now to what? What can I change it to? Come on. Yes. Work out your holiness. Yes. Any other word? Character. Yes. Read your right. Yes, sir. Show forth your identity. Before that, yes, Saba, is it? Okay. Bring forth your reality. Wow. Woman of God. Epistle. You are the epistle. Hallelujah. So, bring out your words. What do you say? Bring out your reality. I love that. That's so sweet. Let's tell Paul. Edit it in heaven. Walk in the conscience of who you are. See the same thing here. Huh? Show us. Show yourself. Come and say, show yourself. Show yourself. It's good. So now, check Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Say the same thing here again. Matthew 5, 13. You are strong. You are strong. You are strong in your faith. You are strong in what you have received. You are strong. You are strong in the power of God. You are strong in all Jesus has done for you. You are strong. You are not the fearful. You are not the fearful. Come on, you're not the fearful. You're not displacing fears. You will displace fears in people. You will see fear, you will kick it away. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come down there, somebody, rustic, a vatic, a palan, take a palan, rustic, a beam, and a castava. You will bounce on things. You will just happen to things. You will get there. Fears will crumble. Amen, amen. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. See this. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be thrown under the feet of men. 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can you see? So he's not saying work out your salvation for you to make heaven. No. He's saying you shine your light so that others will glorify God through you. Promise, are you understanding me? It's so that others can glorify God through you. He's not saying work out your salvation for you to make heaven or for you to be approved before God, but for men to glorify God through you. Let's check that Titus 3 verse 8 that Sacrissa read for us earlier today. I don't love the way she prayed. Just for now. Titus 3 verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Are you there? Rejoice and wait for you. This pastor, you are brand new. Things brand new. She's still looking for it. That's the work of sleep. You know, what is the religion again? What is the religion? I'm saying she's wrong. Okay. There's no coffee here now. What else? Pringles. What's your business? Okay. That is the only fruit of my ministry in this place. All of you. Okay. Titus 3 verse 8. Want to go, yes? This is a faithful saying, and this is I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which are believed in God may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Is that clear? So why are you to work out your salvation? For men. Not to any careful. Why are you to be holy in all manner of conversion for men? Check Hebrews 12, our epic verse. God bless the better life. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. I'm still going to teach on this verses completely later. Yes, let's see it. Hebrews 12, 14. Want to go, yes. For peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In your Bible, just put in brackets, through you. After. Simple. So it is follow peace with all men and holiness. If we are not doing this, nobody will see God in you. It's not nobody will see God in heaven. It is in you that they want to see God. It is for men to see the Lord through you. Now let me say this. Now we have to be careful at this church. Because, okay, check 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 1. The reason we are to live at peace with all men. Just look at that. If they make that a condition to make heaven, we are in soup. How can they say follow peace? If you don't follow peace with all men, including Osama Bin Laden, you will not make, if they say you will not make heaven, so what's the realm? So, you know, what it says is that if you are not living, following peace with all men, it will be difficult for them to call you a Christian. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Now, I'm saying we have to be careful at this situation, so you are not receiving the wrong thing. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. What is there? Slowly. Likewise, you wife. Now, be in submission to your own husband, that see what she is saying. If any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the what? conversations of the well. Verse 2. Why they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear? Write this down clearly in your notes. Good characters may attract men to you. Your good character may make them give you attention. But your good conduct will not save them. So don't get special one, though. When they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, what will now eventually happen is that they will be more patient to listen to you. To listen to you to preach. Not that, but if you judge from just verse 1, he said, they may witness the word, be won by the conversation of their wife. It's not, it's like you say, okay, if you have a wife that is not, you know, like, I don't know how to put it. Like, without the Bible, without the scripture, because your wife is obedient to this, serving food, and man will not become born again. Who does that? Praise God. So now, good character cannot save anyone. So that is the breaking point that we must understand clearly. Now, I want to tell you this. The greatest expression of your holiness is to preach the word. The greatest expression of holiness. What is holiness? Holiness means separate. Agios, right? It means separation, separate. How do you show the world you are separate? You have a different message. Sorry, your error is gone. You have a different message. You have a different persuasion. You are talking differently. Hallelujah. You are talking differently. Because if you see that Philippians 2, go back there. That Philippians 2 that we just read, see what is there. And sometimes you must not lose them. You must be verbal about all God has done for you. You must be verbal about this. Don't say the next one. Let all do the same for us. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as the light of the world. But 16, everybody, 16 wants to go, yes? Holding for the word of life. Holding for the word of life. Don't say, because I am serving my boss tea every day, I greet him, I do like this, so he will become saved. No. Your good character, your good conduct can make people, like people usually say about Pastor Iyer, they're like, that man, I love him, he's humble, I love him, he talks gently. Do you know how many people love Papa because he's humble? A lot of people are telling him because that man is humble. There's some Muslims pay tithes to him. He's humble. Anyway, I compare such humility so that you can drop your seed. Hebrews 10 then. Go back there. So I've explained Hebrews 10 since. So let's come back to our same business. So by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for hallelujah. So verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. See that word there, can never. He said, can never. Telling you that nobody's sins was actually taken away the Old Testament. He said, can never. Your confession of sin, anything man is doing about sin, can never solve the problem of sin. Hope you know you are alive, shall you? You know that they are showing your chest on the camera. Praise God. That's my reason in Jim. Okay. Amen. Okay. That they were. Oh God. Amen. Good. So, that one can never is telling that nobody sees was actually taken away in the Old Testament. Nothing done by man can be sufficient for justification. It's just not sufficient. The people that justify in the Old Testament, it was not because of the things they did about their sin. It is because of their faith in the sacrifice that will be offered. Not the one they are doing. That is why the two sons of Aaron, the sheep, they are the sheep butcher. They are doing some strange song in the Bible. Something came down, killed them there. They discussed the same as one. So it's not about how dutiful you are in confessing your sin. No. It's about faith in the Savior. So see verse 12. Say, but this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down where? At the right hand of God. Let me read the BBE translation for you. Say, by that pleasure, we have been made holy by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and forever. So, I am not advocating sin, but holiness is not a function of the length of your skirt. It's not a function of how tiny, skinny your trouser is. What's it again? Amen. So God said a man is holy because he has believed in me. And some preacher will say, no, you are dressing like this. What is your own? What is your own? That is a big that is a question I want to be asking people. What is your own? Tell me, what did you contribute to the salvation of this person? Your duty is to show God. Not to measure the longevity or the expiry date of people's salvation. Praise God. So, go to Romans 14, verse 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And before 15 minutes will be done. Romans 14, verse 4. If you are awake, you have to read this. And the people who are not awake, they're breathing in their dream too. Romans 14, verse 4. Yes, won't you go? Who art thou that judges another man's servants? To his own master is standard of fullness. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Let me read my shall be for you. That is basic Bible English. So, who are you to make yourself a judge of another man's servant? It is to his servants. It is to his master that he is responsible for good or bad. Yes, his place will be saved because the Lord is able to keep him from falling. Hallelujah. Say, God keeps us from falling. So, you have to learn, rejoice, don't go, rejoice. You are close to somebody here. Something is transmitted by induction or by convention. So, be not unequally yoked with. Don't be unequally yoked, okay? I think it was. Good. Thank you. Just survive the next 10 minutes. Okay, sorry. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. So I said you have to learn how to correct people's sin. You have to learn how to correct acts of misconduct, correct acts of sin without condemning the Christian. It's a training. You must learn it. You must learn it. You must learn to separate justification from the actions. Like some people, they just don't know how to correct sin and looking like Tupac. Some people just don't know how to correct people's action without touching their salvation. No, it must be smarter than that. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. After the Corinthians church, after they have done all their ginkgoes, slept their brother's wife, done several days, you know, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16, what did Paul tell them? Want to go? Yes, what's that? Know ye not that your body is a temple of God? For the Spirit of God dwells in you. He didn't say your CC. You see, ah, don't give my CC. Your body was once the temple of God. No? He told them, this is who you are. So we must not use that fear of hell to make people do the right thing. No, we must not. That is a faulty foundation. It will only bring hypocrisy. When you use the fear of hell to cajole people, to do the right thing, it will only bring hypocrisy. A lot of us say we have gone tired of hell before. We have never begged this hell. Yeah, just come. Just go. And this supercomputer will be there. I don't know when we did. DMX. DMX. Some of them will be there. But is it dead? You know, where's my old stars? All of them will be there. We'll make mega jams. Yahoo. Yahoo is alive. Praise God. So all of us, we have all got, like, the element say cannot keep you in, but cannot make you fear forever. I bet leave the element, I'll go, no matter. And 80% of Christians say, I don't worry now, when I'm about to die, hey, I won't die now, I will not overspeed, I will. We must not use the fear of hell to make people do the right thing. No. And this to you preachers. Don't allow people to tempt you to preach a bad message. Because now, somebody like me, yeah, like I hate indecency, seriously. But don't allow when you are seeing people that are not your own style of decency. Don't allow them to tempt you to change your message. You will look at the prostitute that has been the gospel and that say you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You tell her to her face. To the guy that is trying to steal us, and you say you are sanctified in Jesus. You must not say the message is stronger than their actions. It's stronger. The message is stronger than their bad character. And it's the message that will shame them. So don't allow people with bad conduct to tempt you to say the wrong thing. Amen. Praise God. 7:10, chapter 4. So don't make your own likes and dislikes. Don't make it condition for salvation. Don't preach your own principle. But it's getting you like low cut. Like the day I fucked it up there, I have big beers. You say, Pastor, what are you doing with all this now? Where is your money? Don't formulate heaven's formula. You don't preach your own principle. What is the 7:10, 4:5? 4:5. Where to go? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. So it's not about if I like what you are doing or not. We all stand with the standard of the gospel of Christ, with the standard, with the perimeters of the Bible. See, the way messenger put up, they say, remember our message is not about ourselves. We are proclaiming Jesus Christ the Master. All we are is messengers. Errand runners from Jesus to you. Amen. See how the minister of reconciliation? Not condemnation. Verse 19 of 7:5. 5:19, 7:19, 5:19, 5:19, 5:19. I'm almost closing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 5 verse 19 and 20. Yes, read it together. Thank you. This is a nice reminder. Continue again in the evening. Want to go, yes. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be you reconciled to God. 21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen, amen. Say, I'm a minister of reconciliation. Say, I don't impute people's sins on them because I am not sent to do that. Let me show you Good News Translation, Good News Bible. Say, all this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. Verse 19 says, our message is that God was making all human beings his friend through Christ. God did not keep account of their sins. And he has not given us the message, which tells how he makes people his friend. Praise God. So if God is not counting people's sins, who are you to do it? Who are you? Who are you? You must not. That is why, to everybody, even if you are listening to us online or anywhere, I have told you clearly, don't rebel against church authority. No, it's not allowed. But know the difference between your pastor and your savior. You hear that? Know the difference between your pastor and your savior. Who can tell me what is one duty of your pastor that your savior cannot do? Teach? Jesus cannot be teaching you by your bed every morning. No. Jesus is teaching you by the bed every morning. He's a demon. It's not Jesus. It's a familiar spirit. Any other duty of your pastor? To give you the right book. Huh? To grow you up. To join you in marriage. He does not do that. Praise God. To ensure? To give you money. That's not duty of your pastor. To give you money. Welfare. But what is the duty of your savior? Salvation, sanctification, redemption, entry heaven. Don't do cross multiplication. What your pastor can do, should do, your savior cannot do. Your savior did not take the glory of your pastor, so your pastor must not take the glory of your savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say I'm loud about the message of forgiveness of sins. Say I'm loud. Say I'm loud. Glory to God. Let's pray in tongues, everybody. Let's pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray in tongues.